Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IA Cast. All right, I'm here today with Taylor Arndt. Hi, Taylor. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael. It seems like it's been forever since I've been on the show.
Well, it's been kind of forever since we've had an IA cast, so I'm glad we're back.
I know, right? So many updates, like just so much going on. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things going on in the world of tech and in our world. Taylor and I both have new jobs. It's a great thing. Things have, you know, gotten a little crazy as far as app development and being part of some classes and things like that. So we're back. We're back for another episode, and we've got a lot to talk about today. The first thing, because I know this is a big topic to you, Taylor. Let's talk about AI.
Oh, I love AI.
And specifically, I've watched this. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it, but have you seen Marques Brownlee's review of the Humane AI Pen?
I've not. I don't even have the link to the video.
Yeah, well, it's on YouTube, and it came across my feed. And in fact, he didn't have to, but he put up a video justifying his review. Now, are you familiar with this pen?
Not at all, because like I said, it didn't even come across my feed, which is kind of crazy.
Well, the Humane AI Pen came out it was announced last year, I think. And if you remember, a person in our community that we know really well, Mike Calvo, went on Double Tap and had some thoughts.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell now that you know, what product I'm talking about?
I think so.
That they did not mention accessibility at all in their presentation when they demoed this thing. And basically, the Humane AI Pen is a little device you can buy. It's $700, and then it has a $25 cellular subscription with it. That's not the cheapest.
No. Do you know what carrier it uses?
I don't. I know that's listed online, but I don't know what carrier it uses.
Okay.
But basically, it's supposed to last about 4 hours, and it has little battery boosters that you can wear to boost the battery. And it has a button where you can ask it different questions like, what is in front of me? And it can describe what it sees. You could ask it questions like, what's the battery level? What time is it? All those things, and it will tell you. The issue is that it's, again, $700. And the other interesting thing is it has a laser projector that can project its user interface on your hand. Then you can use gestures like the Vision Pro to move around the interface. And it's another example, I would say, of almost spatial computing, but not quite. But it's $700, and it doesn't work right. Like, it takes a while to get responses back. It can hallucinate because it's, again, AI. And, like, he asked it what bridge am I at, and they told him the wrong bridge.
Oh.
So then the battery can go between 2 and 4 hours instead of like 4 hours. However, you know, it's not a reliable battery. And then sometimes it will actually heat up on your chest where you have it pinned. And it will say that it can't take requests right now, that it's, please try again a little while whenever the device is cooled down.
Hmm.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, okay, the reason why I bring this up is there's a new discussion, like, can tech reviews end or doom a company? Because, like, you know, this was a bad review. Like, he slammed them. And he says this is one of the worst products ever. And I would almost have to agree, because it doesn't do what it's advertised to do, especially $700 and $25, you know, dollars a month. But of course, I'm sure they're going to offer updates. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's actually a threefold response. So one, I believe tech reviews can damage a reputation of a company. And that's why you guys, when I do the Taylor's Teardown series, I don't do a full-on like tech criticism. I do a tech feedback. So there's a difference between feedback and criticism. Feedback is when you are giving them critical feedback, right? So for example, you know, the device heats up very frequently on my chest when I'm trying to walk with it. Is it possible that we could fix it or have more controls, temperature regulation? Or the device cellular subscription seems a little expensive. What are ways that we could cut the cost down? Now, a critical bad teardown, not really a teardown because that's really what I do, but a tech reviewer might just say, oh, this is a trash product, don't buy it, right? It may not be that drastic, but my point is this. The feedback is more important to a company and it helps them to try to understand what's wrong with it because it's almost like an extension of a beta test, right? So the feedback helps to be like, you know, I like this aspect, but maybe we could improve it. Whereas the tech reviews, some of them just are like, eh, this device is not very good. And then what happens is prospective consumers see the tech reviews and they're like, well, maybe I shouldn't buy this product because this YouTuber said it was terrible.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to how should, I mean, Marquez is very truthful and he's brutally honest about things. And it comes down to, okay, like he reviewed a car and the car had a lot of safety issues and other problems. So he also gave that one a terrible review. And there's, for that, there's no, like, okay, the Humane Pin, they can update it. They can do different things. They can work on that. So I feel like it depends on the topic. Like if it's a car, then yes, they need to be slammed. But I do feel like with the Humane AI Pin, you know, people have put their lives into this stuff. And I do kind of feel like it's good to be truthful, but I think it's good to be honest and say, this is how they could do this better. Everybody has it out for big tech these days. And I feel like what we need to be is a positive influence and say, okay, you guys did this. This was a good effort, but let's try to work on it and make it better. And here's how you can do that. It's almost, you almost have to think of tech products as almost like accessibility audits. Like, look,
yes, you know, yes, this, yes.
This thing could be so much more if you do these things, and then the product would be, and we have that with video games. There was a game that I like to play called No Man's Sky, where you, like, they promised a lot, and at launch, they didn't deliver, and people tore them up one side and down the other. And now it's like five to seven years later, and they're still updating the game as if they're like apologizing for such a terrible launch. And they've made the game so much better after the launch that everybody's like, this is actually a really decent game. And I think that's what we need to look at here is, you know, will the developer make things better? And instead of just saying, you know, the first impressions, you know, of the product.
Well, I do agree. And Michael, let's kind of take it back for a second. What if you were the company that made this product? How would you feel if somebody like tore you up one side and down the other? I mean, I personally would be a little upset because let's say I put my life savings into it or yada, yada, yada. It's not that we should tear these companies up. Yes, I mean, of course, if it's like a car or something, but with these AI softwares, AI's in its infancy. And if we tear AI companies by giving them terrible reviews, and some of them might not want to continue because they're like, well, no one's going to like my product. And so we have to think about how the company would feel if this happened to them. You know, like I said, I would feel pretty terrible about it. And of course, if it was constructive feedback, I would feel, you know, like, great, I got some more feedback. Let's implement it. But like I keep saying, there's a difference between feedback and like tearing them up one side down the other.
Yeah, I agree. And it just depends on, you know, okay, like for example, if it's Apple and VoiceOver, right? We can tear them up one side down the other because they've had chances to fix this or Android. And they need to get on those things. So it's like there's a difference there. Like this Humane Pin is a generation one product. So I think the concept is great. It lets us see what it can do. But, you know, I know Marquez's view is to give people a full understanding of why you should not go out and buy the thing. And that's understandable. But what I think he should do is also say, here's why you should improve this thing because it's a cool product. Now, I mean, he's reviewed some things that are really, like, Dyson made some headphones that had like a face filter and all kinds of stuff that was like, wow, people, that's outrageous. And it was like over $1,000. So those kind of things are like, you know. Now, Humane did have some marketing that the AI pen would replace your smartphone. And that's wrong. That is wrong. But it is a neat device on its own. And he even does say the construction is really nice. Like how it looks is really cool. So I think it just depends on, you know, the way that things are presented when you do a review, right? Like how you go about saying things. And I was looking at Marquez's YouTube channel and he has millions and millions of subscribers. So I think it just depends on how harsh do you want to be, you know? So it's interesting. You know, keeping on the AI front, you know, we're going to have WWDC in, you know, about a month and a half now. Can you believe it? It's like, it feels like last year we had WWDC.
And I know, right?
We got the demo Vision Pro at last year's WWDC, and now we have one. We have the Vision Pro. And I could just imagine what we're going to hear this year. It's going to be probably AI focused. But what do you think? Should Apple completely just destroy Siri or S Lady? Sorry.
And I know mine just went off.
And recreate a new artificial intelligence, or what do you think they should do?
Well, S Lady is really, really helpful in some areas. I'm not saying it's great, right? So don't take this the wrong way. Don't go try to tell me on Mastodon that, I almost said the word S Lady supporter, because yeah, it does okay things, but I think that they need to improve it with AI. I don't know that reconstructing the S Lady is a good idea. I mean, it comes back to the saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So people could argue, oh yeah, it's broken. But the thing is that it is cheaper, faster, and more effective to be able to replace the terrible components of S-Lady and replace it with AI. That's kind of my opinion. Now, people are going to probably be like, well, if we just start over, then we could do it faster because we don't have to replace outdated components. But yes, that could be true. However, I think as an efficiency scale and a money scale, because everybody's talking about saving money these days, I think that replacing the ineffective parts of S-Lady with AI to make it better is probably the best way to go.
I agree. And you know, they're talking about, you know, changing its name and doing all this stuff. I don't know. I feel like they just need to, if they replace the guts of S-Lady with something better and just keep calling it that, that'll be fine with me. I'm really a big fan of how Apple does things, and I think if they were to go in and do what they need to do, then it would be fine.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you know, we're talking about Apple, but let's switch over to Google and with Android. And I kind of was hoping we'd get some Braille folks that would want to be on today, because Android 15 Beta 1 is out. And I'm not going to put it on my Samsung. I don't think I can. Right. But you have a Pixel. Would you put the beta on your Pixel, or are you going to wait till it releases?
Well, considering that I use it for accessibility testing, I don't know that I can. So I just want to talk on one topic for a minute, and that is betas and accessibility testing. Right. So I am an accessibility tester. You guys know this. I've worked for various different companies doing mobile apps and web stuff. And normally, it is not a good idea to do the accessibility testing with a beta because there could be issues that are not on production. However, this deviates because if you're a developer, you want to fix those issues on beta. And you want to get one step ahead of production so you can be ready when the new production build comes out. So what I say to that is, I don't know that I will. However, if I get a new Pixel, which it's probably time that I do that, then that might be a possible thing that I may consider in the future if I decide to get a new Pixel for the business.
Yeah, because the betas have new stuff, but at least like beta 1 of Android is a lot less stable than the iOS betas because they really even have a lot of things that are broken. So,
yeah.
Drivers even, like Android drivers may not even work. So, at least that's what I've seen in the past. But one of the things that they're adding, though, that a lot of people will find interesting is HID Braille support for Bluetooth Braille devices. And I think that's a good, it's about time. Yes. They're several years behind on that. And so I think it's great that we're finally starting to see that. Now, they're saying some HID devices. So
no.
I don't know what that means.
Me either.
So I think Android is going to be interesting to watch this year. Google I/O is coming up pretty soon, from what I understand. And I'm going to be very interested to know where we go with that. So
isn't that in May?
It is in May. It's usually like 2 or 3 weeks before WWDC's. And I think Build is coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
I think so.
So we're going to get a lot of information very, very soon.
And so, yeah, stay tuned to the IACast Network.
Tech baseball is in full swing, as I call it.
Yep. That's what I was just going to say, Michael. Tech baseball, full swing.
And if you don't remember tech baseball, you know, typically, with a few exceptions, January, there's usually CES. But from March till October is when we see a lot of releases come out. And then it kind of lulls from the rest of the year, which is about the same time as baseball season. So that's why I call it the tech baseball season. So we have a lot of cool tech since we've done the last IACast, and we're going to be doing other podcasts here pretty soon, kind of kicking that back off. So very excited about that. I still need to post some content that we've recorded that need to be done. And let's see, there's so many tech things that have come out lately. Taylor, I'm curious your thoughts on the BT Speak product, because it is basically like a redo of the Braille and Speak, but it's using a Raspberry Pi, from what I understand.
Oh, to be honest, y'all, I never experienced the Braille and Speak as a kid or when it was first around, so I can't really make any comparisons, and this is something I won't buy, primarily. I don't need it. Why do I need to buy it? I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that it's neat because it kind of is the nostalgia factor, but it's not something that I would want. And I keep telling people what I want is a Braille display that just has Braille. No buttons, you know, that would be nice.
I don't know why that's not.
I know. Here yet. You'd think it would be a thing.
Like, it should be so much easier than, like, just having a keyboard. Like, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows about Braille displays in this audience, educate us why that hasn't been done yet.
Yep. The next thing we'll move on to is all of the changes with Apple and the EU. I just thought about that. So,
oh yeah.
For example, what are your thoughts on being able to sideload apps in the EU and not here?
Well,
third-party app stores.
I think it's going to be an interesting time. The reason is because sometimes when I am doing accessibility testing, you know, I bring it back to that because that's when mainly I'd have to sideload, right? The issues could come about when sometimes I have EU clients and they want to give me apps and like, oh, what, I can't sideload in the US. So it's kind of an unfair playing field, as I might say. I feel like there's a couple advantages to sideload, and of course there's many disadvantages. So I'll kind of walk through it real quick. And so the first one for advantage is, like, if you're a tester who tests apps, it's a lot easier because you don't have to try to sign up for Test Flight, which is Apple's beta testing distribution platform. Then you have to get the beta. No, you could just have them send you a file to download on your device. So I think that's helpful. Of course, then we come into the disadvantages, and there's many. One, it can be malicious because it's like the Wild Wild West. You don't know what you're downloading. Two, it can be a little bit more difficult for non-technical users because they're like, I don't know what's going to be on my phone. It could be malware, like I just talked about. And three, it could introduce more issues in terms of like the device. Mainly, again, I keep talking about security, but with like viruses, not that we really get viruses, but that could happen if there's a lot of infected code. So mainly, to break it down, advantages, easy for testers who are technical, right, like accessibility or QA. Disadvantages, unsecure and not helpful for the average users.
Right. And sideloading is something that I've always wanted, but it has to be done right. So the phone, I'm fine with it just being a phone, like being the App Store. But I really think the iPad should have the ability for people to be able to sideload or put apps from alternative app stores. Because if they want it to be more of a computer, it should have that ability. That's just my views there. And then the Mac is still able to do that. So,
yeah, I didn't think about that aspect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now here's a thought. Should you be able to sideload apps on the Vision Pro? Should that be a thing?
No.
I'm curious, what are your thoughts there?
I think it could be an absolute disaster. Because the Vision Pro is so new, it comes back to security, right? You don't know what's going to happen. At least I can have confidence with the App Store review process. And the Vision Pro is not like a computer, right? It's a spatial, device. I mean, yeah, it can be like a computer, but I wouldn't use it to do all my testing and auditing on it, right? So I can't write reports on it. And so, no, I don't think it's a good idea yet. Let's just try to get the App Store more featured. And let's try to get apps in there that are reviewed by Apple. And that way it won't be a disaster. Because, I mean, imagine you're a user and you download a malicious app from the sideload for Vision Pro. And then your device becomes a brick. Not saying that could happen, but it could. How would you feel? Not good. Because you spent $3,500 and your device doesn't work anymore just because you downloaded this app.
Yeah, and again, like you're talking about, like, what if it shows you stuff and does things that you did not tell it to do, and you have something that's on your head using a lot of power and something breaks? That would not be cool. Mm-mm. So, yeah, it's too new for that. I think, once we get a little further on, then yes. But let's talk about some of our news for Techopolis and iAccessibility. And that is, we've really brought out the community, the iAccessibility community. So, many of you know us as iAccessibility, and the IACast is part of iAccessibility. So we're bringing iAccessibility back to the forefront, and we've brought the forums back at iAccessibility.net. And instead of IACast Plus, it's iAccessibility Plus. So we're bringing back the community to iAccessibility, and that means that we are promoting the WhatsApp group for the iAccessibility community. We have their Discord. We have all of these things, and we have a new home for the Plus portion of this, and that is iAccessibility.net/plus. You can join as a free member and get access to Discord and WhatsApp, or, support the podcast, and we'll have premium content at some point, maybe some training, maybe some other things. You never know. But you could also support our other podcasts on the network, like Unmute Presents and others, from that one page as well. So we hope you check it out and utilize that. And continue listening to Unmute, Technically Working, and all of the content they provide because they have some great stuff. There is a new iAccessibility for Android app that I'm really, really excited about. You can listen to iAcast Radio again in that, or for the first time in the Android app. And we need to get push notifications working. Like, was not able to get those in the last version, but that will be coming soon. So it's all pretty exciting. And we have a lot going on in the iOS app still. We're going to be working on new content, and we may even have more radio stations coming. So we have iAcast Radio now. We may have a Spanish with Carla radio station. We may have, you know, other stations as well. So like our iCast station, when we get Acast going again, that will probably be its own station. And yeah, so the other thing that we want to do is we really want to encourage you guys to send us your ideas. What do you want us to talk about on these podcasts? Because we really enjoy podcasting, and my goal is to make it easier for us to podcast, because I think part of it is having to set up the equipment and all that stuff is just not the most fun thing to do. And that's why sometimes we miss some episodes. So we're going to work on making this process better and better. And, you know, we have our own radio station server now. It's great. It's fantastic.
It is awesome.
I saw today we had 17 unique listeners possibly during this episode. So I'm really happy about that. Yep.
Wow, y'all keep it up. Share it with your friends and everybody.
Yeah. I was amazed. I was like, wow. So we're trying to bring this thing back and get this, you know, more popular so people enjoy it. We also are beta testing a new app, and if you join the community, you'll get links to that. It's called Perspective Meetings, and it's basically an app where you can take all of your Zoom meetings and add them in one list, or your Google Meet meetings, or your FaceTime calls,
Teams meetings.
Yep. So you don't lose track of your meetings.
And, you know, for example, like today I was trying to find our main IA recording room, and I'm like, this would be really helpful. We actually have a ton of apps coming out in beta really shortly. I'm pretty excited about those.
Yeah, we're going to be bringing back Current City, where you can keep track of what city you're in as you're moving through, like on a bus or a subway or things like that. We're going to have a new vision app that works similar to Seeing AI and others. So that's pretty exciting. I'm sure people will love to hear that. And many more to come. So pretty exciting stuff. And then we're also working on some other projects that will be coming in the future. And we're also wanting to find other people that are interested in being developers for Techopolis. If you want to learn how to build apps and have your apps in the store, we're all for that. And we've kind of changed from being more focused on working with clients to building our own apps, because we have so many things that we want to build, so many possibilities that we're trying to get those things out there. And so yes, people can use them. So it's all pretty exciting stuff.
It's very exciting. And I'm very happy that I may have my first ever app come out in the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
As the Perspective Vision.
Yep. And all of our apps labeled Perspective have to do with artificial intelligence. So even this Meetings app will have AI at some point.
Yes.
So it's all very exciting stuff. And we cannot wait to share it with all of you guys very soon. So Perspective Meetings is the first one. If you want to get involved with testing Perspective Meetings, you can do so. Get a part of the iAccessibility WhatsApp or the Discord and send me a message, and we will make that happen. I think what we need to do is have another discussion on another podcast about different social media networks like Discord, Mastodon, and all those things. So we usually have a yearly check-in on social media, like which platforms work the best and things like that. So we need to do that again pretty soon. But as we typically do when we end these things, Taylor, do you have a pick for this episode, and where can people find you online?
Well, can you guys tell that I sound better? I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yes, I know what you're gonna pick.
You know where I'm going, right, Michael?
Yep.
Well, I got a Rode NT USB mini microphone, and I am very excited. I'm going to be using it for my job, Techopolis, IACast, everything else in between. And it is an amazing microphone. I sound pretty good. It's around $90 retail, I think.
About $99, yep.
$99. And got it on Amazon. It's a really good mic. It's pretty small. And I have it connected to my Windows computer right now. So it sounds pretty good, especially with my voice. And I love it. So that's kind of my pick of the week. Where can people find me? Well, I am all over online. So I am on the IACast Network, of course, on different podcasts, WhatsApp. I'm on the YouTube. I still have my new channel, Aren't Tech. Google hasn't canceled it yet. But apparently my computer wants to try to die. So we're going to prevent that real quick. And I also, Mastodon, Tayarndt, T-A-Y-A-R-N-D-T, at Techopolis, T-E, hold on, C-H-O-P-O-L-I-S dot social. And I am on X, Tayarndt, Facebook, Taylorndt, and you can reach me by email at taylor@taylorndt.com.
Fantastic. And my pick this week is another TV show. It is, if you don't mind, it's a mature rated TV show. It's Fallout on Prime, Amazon Prime. Very good show, very similar to the games. Well, it is part of the games universe. So check it out. Fallout, great show. It actually has gotten me into playing the Fallout games. And yeah, it's really great. If you want to find me online, I'm Mike Dowies pretty much everywhere. I'm Mike Dowies at techopolis.social. Taylor already spelled it, so I won't do that again. I'm Mike Dowies on Twitter, Michael Dowies on Facebook, and you can email me at mikedowies@icloud.com. That's M-I-K-E-D-O-I-S-E @icloud.com. I want to thank you all for being here on this episode of the IACast. This has been a great episode, good discussion. You can email the show at feedback@iacast.net, and we're very glad to be back with you. And we will be back for plenty of more episodes and a lot more content to come. So yeah, we'll wrap this thing up. And we keep talking about doing little pieces of content, smaller things, smaller bites for you all. And we're going to try to do that soon. So we will see how that goes. And I think Taylor's mic will help her do that. And I have this profile. So we're going to start doing that, you know, just hooking it up to the iPhone.
Yeah, and hint, hint, there may be a new AI podcast. Maybe in the works, so yep. You're going to have to stick around.
Yep. Find out more. Stick around and find out. All right, everybody, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to the IACast. We hope you enjoyed the show and found the conversation to be insightful and informative. If you have any feedback or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us an email at feedback@iacast.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at @IACastNetwork to stay informed about new episodes and other updates. Don't forget to check out more great podcasts on the IACast Network, IACast.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you.